This is Bill Woods up here in Sun Valley, Arizona. I just wanted to spend a little time with you today on the topic that God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." I knew a Methodist pastor when I was in Pullman, Washington. He was United Methodist. And we'd gotten together with some other preachers because it was 1973 and there was the big emphasis of Key 73, hoping to evangelize the nation. And pastors had gotten together to talk about how we could find a common way to work together. And as we talked, a Methodist pastor said he felt a person could go to heaven without accepting Christ just by living the moral code of the Bible. Well, I asked why he had a cross on the front of his church, if that's the way he felt. I said it should be a horseshoe saying, "Good luck, brother. I hope you can make it." Now, listen to me. This generation has only one problem. We've not let God's thoughts be our thoughts. Today's homes have one problem. We've not let God's thoughts be our thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 in the New King James Version says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." America's only problem today is that we've gotten a little education, we've learned a few facts and ideas, and we've decided that we have all the answers. No, the answers are found in God's holy instruction book, the Bible. For instance, discipline of children. A couple generations ago now, I guess, Dr. Spock, Ann Landers, and other misinformed people wrote books saying, "Don't discipline the children, you'll warp their little personalities." And that's been compounded by other psychologists since then, giving the idea that we want to let the children express themselves so they can develop to their potential. Well, those first kids and their generation following them are grown up now and are causing more trouble than we can handle. No, God's plan is discipline your children to teach them the difference between right and wrong, to teach them to submit to authority. If they can't submit to your authority, they will not submit to God's authority. So you have a big job there trying to teach your children how to submit to your authority and then God's authority. Proverbs 22:15 says, "A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away." Proverbs 23:13-14, "Don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death." I received a text the other day, said, "You can't spank your kid, but you can kill it before it's born. Who in the hell is making all these laws?" That was a quote. Proverbs 29:15 says, "To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child." See, that's God's plan, to discipline our children. You say, "Well, I don't see it." Well, you don't have to. God said that maybe you wouldn't. In Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, "Again, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our trouble is we're running a country with our thoughts, not his thoughts. Actually, today, more than ever, we need to get back to God's thoughts here. We're raising families with our thoughts instead of his thoughts. You know, there's not a problem that couldn't be solved if we'd read the Bible and follow God's instructions. God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Now, there's some things I can't understand. I can't comprehend, for instance, a burning hell where people will go and suffer forever and forever. That's irritating to my culture, to think there's a place where people who haven't accepted Christ burn forever. That's not my thought. The Bible says that's God's thought. Matthew 18:8 says, "So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal fire with both of your hands and feet." So where the Bible disagrees with me, I follow and believe the Bible. There are many things in the Bible I wouldn't think. An example would be someone cheated me and spread gossip that's hurt my reputation. And so I want to ask, is it all right if I get even, if I even the score with that person for what he's done to me? Well, you know, the answer is, well, of course we can. But there's nothing in the Bible that says we can. If I'd written the Bible, I'd said if someone does evil to you, you have a right for revenge. But see, I didn't write the Bible. The Bible says forgive your enemies. The Bible says return goodness for evil. The Bible says turn the other cheek. Now, I can't understand that. To me, it's reasonable if someone hurts you that you should have the right to hurt him back. And so I agree with you, and you probably agree with me. You say, nah, I just don't agree with that. No, we agree. It's just that neither of us are agreeing with God at that point. The truth is, I take what God says. You might say, if you want my opinion, honestly, I'm not interested in your opinions. I want to know what God says. I learned a long time ago, somebody wrote the Bible who knows more than I know, and so I trust it. Just like I trusted Mom when I was a little kid and she would tell me to do certain things and I would obey because I knew it would be best if I did. We were a lot better off when we felt we might not understand everything the Bible says or agree with it rationally, but God said it and that settles it and we believe it. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Now there are three things we need to look at today. Our thoughts are not His thoughts concerning suffering. Our thought is, it's better to have plenty than not to. Have lots of leisure time. A 30-hour week is better than a 40-hour week, and a 40-hour week is better than a 50-hour week. Our thought is, we want good health. We want two cars in the garage, a better garage around the cars. We want a better house hooked to the garage. More food on the table, more time to play. But you know, that's not God's thought. God knew we'd get into mischief if we had too much idle time, so God said work was better than all leisure time. God said responsibility is better than irresponsibility. The reason there's so much crime is there's just too much idle time, too much luxury. I've had burdens and heartaches, and I imagine you have too, that looking back, I see often that the places I thought were mountain peaks were valleys, and what I thought were valleys were actually mountain peaks. There were times in distress when I thought God had deserted me. I want to quote the poem Footprints in the Sand. The person said, "One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." You know, I read about a missionary in the West Indies that had a daughter with a bad heart condition. And because of the heart condition, he had to leave the mission field and had to move to Hawaii for her health. He thought his ministry was over. But he started a retreat for worn-out preachers and missionaries and has directly and indirectly touched more lives for Jesus than he ever would have in the West Indies. You say, I don't know why I'm not well. Well, I don't either, but God does. You say, we're facing a financial crisis. I don't know why we have to struggle. Well, I don't either, but I'll tell you this, I'd rather face troubles where I have to depend on God than to be someone with no troubles who doesn't depend upon God. There's so much talk today about recession and shortages and high prices and the economy collapsing and the Great Reset and what's President Biden going to do and how's he going to change things. Don't worry. Be in God's will and let God take care of you. You know, we can't see God's plans. I have a old long play record that has some lyrics on it. It was entitled, I Received a Loving Letter. And it goes this way, Dear child, I heard your prayer last night, and I know that things are not right. So I'm sending this just to say, though things are not just right, I planned your life this way. If every day brought sunshine, you'd hunger for the rain. And if every voice held laughter, you'd long to cry again. And so I'm sending you some heartaches. Treat them tenderly. But when they become too much for you, just send them back to me. Our thoughts are not his thoughts concerning salvation. How do I get to heaven when I die? You know, everyone ought to be asking this question. I hope you are. Our thought is good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's our thought. That's not God's thought. God doesn't say good folks go to heaven, bad ones go to hell. God says born again folks go to heaven, and folks that aren't born again go to hell. Our thoughts say there ought to be something I can do. You know, if I do enough good and sacrifice, maybe I'll go to heaven. No, you won't. Nobody earns his way to heaven. You say, well, why won't good works take me to heaven? Because nobody does good works. And Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. See, the best thing you ever do won't get you to heaven. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. You know, our thoughts are, if I really be good and if I really try to help other people and do enough good deeds and things, that's going to get me to heaven. But God doesn't say that. Listen to what he says. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In Titus 3:4-5, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What does God say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. See, you must let Jesus into your life. Too many people try to hold Jesus at arm's length and appease him without accepting him. You know, it's been very cold up here at Sun Valley this winter. Sometimes the weather's been down 8 or 7 like that in the middle of the night. Now, imagine if one of my granddaughters came to my house banging on the door, wanting to get inside out of the cold and wanting food and water. But I told her, you can't come in now. I'm just too busy doing good for someone else. You know, it doesn't matter what good I'm doing. It won't take the place of letting that frozen, exhausted girl come in where she'll be safe and warm. I don't care what good you do. I don't care what good you do. It won't take the place of receiving our Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Our way says, good, be good, live good, and go to heaven. God's way says, take my son and go to heaven. Our way says, pay your debts and go to heaven. God's way says, take my son and go to heaven. Our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. Now, my thoughts concerning sanctification. You see, God wants to control my life because God knows what's best for me and wants the very best that he can offer me. He wants me to obey. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants to fill me with his power and love and cleanse my heart of sin until he can see himself reflected in me. I think the best way that I ever thought to understand this is when I was a boy growing up. My dad did a lot of fishing, and he would make, he'd go up to the Dalles along the Columbia River. That's Slilo Falls is what it used to be. It's no longer there since they put in the dam there. But Dad would take his big fishing gear, and before he would leave, he would make these heavy sinkers, 3-4 ounce sinkers, and stuff, so he could cast way out there in the river. And I remember that Dad would brought a smelting pot home, and he would throw old lead and stuff that he found in this pot, and he would start the fire, and it would burn, and the lead would melt, and you'd look in there, and you'd see a lot of dross that came up to the top, and he had a ladle, a metal ladle that he would scoop the dross off the top. There might be dirt, there might be leaves, there might be sticks, all these kind of things, and he would melt that lead, and he would skim the top of it off, and when he skimmed off a layer of the crud, you could look in it, you could see yourself, your reflection, but before long, it would all have the slag come up again from the bottom, and it'd have to be skimmed off again. And you know, that's kind of the picture I have as I try to live for Jesus Christ. I give him my life. I say, Lord, you can have me, but somehow through all the process, there are things that come up to the top that I need to turn over to him. And so he skims off that slag there and until he can see his reflection. And then if there's anything else, it comes up and he skims it again until he can see his reflection in my life. This comes only through total surrender. Well, people say, well, don't I fit in there too? Can't I reserve a little part of my life for me and for my plans? I mean, it seems only fair. It's me. Well, my thought is, if you're too tired or for church or prayer meeting, stay home. Take care of yourself. My thought is, if you find it hard to meet financial obligations, that it makes sense to withhold your tithe. My thought is, if witnessing embarrasses you, you shouldn't be put on the spot. My thought is, you're entitled to your own rights. But wait, what are God's thoughts? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and whom you are, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't have rights, really, when you think about it. I need to live for God. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, it's important we forget self and do what God wants us to do. We need dedicated people if we're going to see our families make it to heaven. We must set the example. I knew a fellow when I was in Pullman named Cecil. And he told his daughter, Shamla, one day that she had to go to church with her mom. Cecil never went to church, but her mom was trying to get her to go to church. And Cecil said, now you have to go to church with your mother. And she told Cecil, you don't go to church. Why should I? You know, we need to set the example because we have none to lose. We've got none of our loved ones that we want to see go to a hell that's going to last forever and ever and ever. The only hope for you and me and our families is total surrender to God. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. This means surrender to Christ all areas of your life. You know, that means your motives, your actions, your secret thoughts that you think. God looks on the heart. He knows what's going on inside of you. It's kind of like the story I heard of a little boy whose mother told him to sit down. He said he wasn't going to. And she went over and she forced him to sit down. And he looked up at her and he said, "Well, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing inside." You know, we can't afford to have that attitude. You know, I hear people say, "Well, I have a right to do my own thing." My thoughts exactly. God's thoughts are, "Forsake all and follow me." Our thoughts are not his thoughts. His are so much higher than ours. And I would encourage you, let God show you how you should be thinking and what you should be doing and how you can be ready to spend eternity with him in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'll help each one of us to realize the importance it is to make our peace with you while we still have time. So many people want to put it off and say, "I'll do it later." We don't know that we've got later. We just know that now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And so, dear Father, I pray that you'll help each one to make sure there's nothing between our souls and our Savior. Make sure that we've confessed our sins to you, repented of those sins, and began living for you as we should. I pray for those listening to me today that you'll help us each one to find victory in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's the thought that I had today. And I hope that I'm going right along with God's thoughts. I'm sure I am. Because, you know, that's what God wants me to do, is to inform you that you need to have a right relationship with him while you still have time. If you'd like to get in contact with me, my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. That stands for Reverend William W. Woods at gmail.com. My mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. I love to hear from you, and I'd love to know if you're getting anything out of these podcasts, because my prayer is that God can use these to further his kingdom. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.